From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. There are a whole slew of reasons why a lot of working Americans are reinventing themselves in new careers or imagining doing that. Some are picking up the pieces after the Great Recession. Some just couldn't face another decade of the same old job. Some decide it's time to give back or follow dreams, visions. It's a big step, no matter what. Terrifying, liberating, and maybe waiting for a lot of us. This hour On Point, recasting, reinventing a career, what it takes. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Have you been down this road? Are you starting out now? Did you have to? Did you choose to? Share your tales, your wisdom with us right here. Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're going to hear from people today who have paid a lot of attention to cases of individuals who've gone out to do this, and they will share with us what they've learned. Joining me first from New York is Jane Brody. She writes the personal health column for the New York Times. Her latest piece is headlined Reinventing Yourself. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Jane Brody, welcome to On Point. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jane, you made me laugh in this piece. You say, writing about yourself, you say, I've been like a horse with blinders, starting at 23 years old as a science and health writer and never straying from that path for 52 years. What do you know about reinvention, Jane?
I know from a lot of people that I've interviewed and people that I know personally who have done this job and done it well and with great rewards. One case in particular was a former physician of mine who was in family practice in Brooklyn, New York,
yep.
And he was saddled with the problem of if he takes insurance, he's stuck with seeing patients for, 7 to 15 minutes each,
mm-hmm.
And that was not how he liked to practice medicine. So after 25 years as a family practitioner, he quit, and he moved upstate New York to an area where he could get a lot of land at a reasonable price, and he began raising grass-fed beef.
And now here's the doctor running 200 head of cattle, and you describe him as a very happy man.
He's a very happy man, and I'll tell you, he is more fulfilled by his work with his cattle than he was as a physician. And he's helping other farmers in his area do the same thing. He supports a farm-to-school program that brings this wonderful beef to children in grades kindergarten through 12.
Suddenly, Dr. Jaffe is Rancher Ken out there with his cattle. But you get all these pictures. A social worker becomes massage therapist. Computer programmer becomes an extra at the Metropolitan Opera, and on and on. These might sound to some people like, you know, dream transitions. Or are you trying to find the norm, or these are just the stories that came up as you finally looked up from your 52 years and thought maybe you would do something different?
Well, you know what? I'm not inclined to. That is the funny part. I mean, I'm inspired by these people. I'm admiring of them. I think they've done an absolutely wonderful job of finding a second life. But I enjoy my first life very much, and so therefore I'm not looking for a second, except that I have made some changes. I am semi-retired. I will be 75 in a couple of months, and I think I think of it as the last quarter of my life. I should be spending it doing the things that I truly enjoy that I didn't have time for in the first three quarters. So I got a puppy, and I had the puppy trained as a therapy dog. I bring him to visit patients in the hospital.
Yeah.
I go to more cultural events than I used to, and just enjoying my life.
So your personal reinvention is not so dramatic as becoming an organic rancher. But still, the reinvention challenge is out there as life changes.
That's absolutely true. And some people have no choice because they get fired, the company they work for moves away and they can't afford to move, or they don't want to. They get divorced, a spouse dies. Any number of possibilities can happen that make you make a change. And the lesson that I've learned in speaking with these people and in also speaking with a wonderful expert who's written a book on this subject, Dory, what's her last name?
Dory Clark. Mm-hmm. Reinventing
Dory Clark.
You. Yep.
Reinventing You, who says, don't be afraid to try something you think you couldn't do because you never know until you've tried. And this is a very important message. Even though you may be you know, you think you're over the hill, you're 60 years old and you can't become a pharmacist. Well, you might be able to become a pharmacist. At the very least, you might be able to become a pharmacist assistant. So it doesn't hurt to try.
And let me tell you, Jane, from the response, we've had lots of it online. It's not only seniors or people looking at that part of life who are thinking about transitions, people at all ages. I mean, this economy often forces people, but people have dreams, too.
That's right. And I think it's a very important thing to fulfill your dreams. And now that I think about it, my late husband was one of those people who did this many, many years ago. I didn't even think of it until you mentioned this. When our sons, we had twin sons, and when they were 2 years old, our babysitter left. And the economy really tanked.
Yep.
He was an editor-writer, and there were editor-writers pounding the pavements of New York City without being able to find a job. And he decided he did not want to do that. So he combined, and then his company moved to another state. So he said, you know what, why don't I try staying home with the kids? And that's what he did for the rest of his life. And he fulfilled his own dream by becoming a writer for the musical theater. And that was his passion. And I said, you know, we can live on my salary. Why, you know, we don't need a boat. We don't need an airplane. Just enjoy your life. I will enjoy mine. And the fact that he was able to take care of the kids and I didn't have to worry about whether there was a babysitter and she had to go home and this, that, and the other thing, it freed me up to have a more fulfilling career as well.
Jane Brody, you're a good partner. You're a good egg. And we wish you all the best in your new, what, reinvention or reintegration or whatever you want to call it. We wish you the best with us. Thanks for getting us on this subject today.
Thank you.
Jane Brody at the New York Times. Mark Friedman joins us right now from Berkeley, California. He is founder and CEO of Encore.org. Kind of speaks for itself. Author of The Big Shift, Navigating the New Stage Beyond Midlife, Encore, Finding Work That Matters in the Second Half of Life, and on and on and on. Mark Friedman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
We've been reading you, and it's very interesting. It's not just a kind of a fairy tale that you present. But let me tell you, we put this subject out there, and there's instant response, lots of response. I mean, I'm just looking here on Facebook. On Point Radio, Caroline, got laid off from my job in the environmental field, went on a trip to London, went to a Shakespeare play, became an English major, wrote a book on Shakespeare for young people. You know, reinvented. Kim, I was a delivery driver for 26 years. They paid for me to go back to school. I'm an RN now. Big transition, reinvention. Adam, I tried being a lawyer for a few years. This isn't late life. This is early career. On a whim, I took a class, and now I'm a club and event DJ. The lawyer became a DJ. Adam writes, life is weird. But you're not so sure about this whole reinvention rubric. Why not, Mark? You're supposed to be the encore guy, the change guy.
I know. I wrote a dyspeptic article a year or two ago called The Dangerous Myth of Reinvention. Sounds, very foreboding.
Anti-American.
Exactly. Because the reinvention idea is so much in the American grain. We're, you know, we thought of ourselves as a country as a kind of reinvention.
We were.
But we were. And I think that, you know, what I was railing against in that article and maybe even a little bit still today is that we tend to present this idea of a new chapter in life as a heroic solo transformation. You know, one day you're selling insurance in Brooklyn, and the next day you've got a vineyard in Napa, and the birds are singing, the clouds part, and
your
nobody
Howard
ever
Rourke.
Breaks a sweat.
Right, right. Exactly.
And so, you know, I think that that's that is a dream for some people, and it can be an inspiring one. It could also be terrifying and somewhat daunting in the context of the job market we've seen in recent years. But also that so many people who are at this stage of life that Jane Brody wrote about are pioneers on the frontier, not just of a new stage of work, but a new stage of life. I think this period that is opening up between the 50s and the 70s is a lot like adolescence 100 years ago. We had all these young people who weren't children. They weren't adults. We didn't even know what to call them. Well, now we've got tens of millions of people flooding into this new stage of life that has no name. And also many are going to need to work and want to work. So I think it's really a new chapter. And many people are drawing on their previous experiences. Even Dr. Jaffe, who, you know, became farmer.
Rancher Ken. Yeah.
Rancher Ken. Exactly. You know, he had a whole career focused on promoting health. And he went from one version as a physician to another where he's promoting healthy
people
food.
People to cows,
in
people
the school.
To cattle. Okay. Okay. Yeah, but it says don't wear knee boots when you're doing that, sort of daily visits there. You're not out mucking out stalls or walking the pasture when you're a doctor.
Well, you know, and I think what's missing for so many people is a realistic vision of this period of life, a recognition that it may take a number of years to navigate this transition. It can be a bumpy road, and all too often people are on their own. They're having to make it up as they go along. We don't have the kind of pathways to purpose that we provide for young people, for example. We don't have a stage of education that's affordable and well-suited to people at this juncture. So, you know, big transformative dreams and at the same time, a solo journey that can be tough on so many people, and it can be very expensive.
We're going to look at all of that. We're going to hold the curtain open wider, too, than what you call this period of life. you're thinking there of folks later in life, but we've got response from all ages here. You've written about midlife. We've got people in their 20s and 30s who just got started in a direction that they lost confidence in. They want to change. They want to reinvent. You may have some reservations about the reinvention narrative. For a lot of people, there's not even a choice. The economy has just kind of put a gun to their head and said, you will do something else, and you'll do it quick if you want to eat. Mark Friedman, founder and CEO of Encore.org. Please stand by in Berkeley, California. Listeners, we're talking about reinventing yourself, your career, reintegrating everything that's you, maybe in a new way. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about reinventing yourself, your career, your life, to follow your dreams, to stay afloat, to find meaning, maybe to start over, what it takes, what works, what to watch out for. Mark Friedman is with us. He is founder and CEO of Encore.org, with us from Berkeley, California. You can join us as well. Have you done it? Have you been forced to redirect, reinvent, start over? How did that go? What's the frame of mind you need to hit reset? What about resources? If you've reinvented yourself, your career, what's your advice? All kinds of ways into it. Maybe you take time out to raise kids, then you're back in the work world. We saw how that played out in The Good Wife. Here's Alicia Florek, played by Juliana Margulies, giving a speech in the show at the American Bar Association about how hard it is to reenter the workforce after spending, in her, that case, 13 years as a stay-at-home mom.
When you're sitting across the desk from someone who can hire you, you feel every one of those 13 years. Luckily, I had a very good interviewer. He asked me if I was up to it, coming back to the workplace. The interviewer pointed out that I was arguing against myself, pointing out reasons why I shouldn't be hired.
Or here's Tom Hanks as Larry Crown in the 2011 film, wants to be sure that he never gets laid off again, downsized.
Back to college, huh?
No, this is the first time ever for me. I was in the Navy for 20 years.
Coast Guard.
I was a cook,
culinary specialist. We teach a whole track in hotel and restaurant food preparation.
Oh, no, I did that long enough. Then I got into a whole different line of work until I was downsized. I'm here to make sure that never happens again.
And yes, you may have moves to make on this front with a bunch of decades behind you. AARP is all over this. Here's one of their latest commercials.
20 more years of this job? Yikes. My kids say, go for it, Mom. Be that woman who does what she loves, knows what she wants. Yay, Mom's gonna go for it! Except, I don't have a clue where to start.
Hey, we hear you. That's why AARP created Life Reimagined. It's designed to help you find your true passion.
Find that true passion. Everybody thinks about that. Mark Friedman, stand by in Berkeley, California. Pamela Mitchell joins us right now from Florida, from Miami. Founder and CEO of the Reinvention Institute, host of the Liftoff Project podcast. Fortune magazine calls her the queen of reinvention. Oh, you're going to cite that for years and years, Pamela. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having me.
So what's the range of people who come to you and say, I want to reset, restart, reinvent?
you know, all kinds, you know, from early 30s where they've had some experience, but they're looking to expand or do something different, to mid 40s where it's like, I can't stand another 20 years and doing what I'm doing, all the way up to late 50s, 60s, who are like, okay, I'm leaving what I've been doing, but I still want to be productive. I still want to be in the workforce. What should I do? So it's a whole spectrum.
How do you begin to think with them when they come to you, which is a decision in itself? I mean, you're kind of a life coachy person.
Reinvention coach. Let's
reinvention.
Be specific.
All right, reinvention coach. How do you assess their reasonable, good options? Are you a go for the dream gal, or are you a, you know, stay realistic here? Or how do you begin to weigh their good options?
Well, you know, I call this real life reinvention. And it's funny because I read Mark's article a few years ago and I had, you know, I agreed with it in terms of
the article where he says he calls it the reinvention fantasy, just to be clear.
Right. Exactly. Reinvention fantasy.
Curmudgeon,
which of course,
Mark.
Exactly. Curmudgeon, that sort of dyspeptic view of reinvention is bad. Reintegration is a better word.
Okay.
But I actually agreed with Mark on certain things, which is the idea that we have this vision that reinvention means a wholesale big change.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I talk to people about when they come to me is the idea that reinvention is really a life skill that helps you manage the ages and stages as you go through.
Starting to sound kind of gauzy here.
No, it's a practical life skill.
Okay, life skills, we're all kind of, what do you mean?
Yeah. It's your insurance, okay? It's your insurance in what you do. But the thing is, back to your question about whether or not it's something big or something small, we always start with a vision for your life.
Okay.
Because the whole thing around career is that it's meant to deliver a life that you want. And so that's what most people forget. They think it's all about the job, but no, it's really about what do you want in your life, and then how can we rearrange the details of it to deliver that? So that's where reinvention always starts. And so sometimes it's a big major shift, and sometimes it's small tweaks.
Mark, your advice was be skeptical a little bit of the radical reinvention, but reintegration, yes. What do you mean by reintegration as another way of looking at this?
Many times there's this opportunity that presents itself, particularly in this latter part of life, where you can bring together your experience, what you've learned from life, earlier idealism into a new mix that is something that's exciting and aspirational, but it also honors all that you've learned from life. It reminds me, in Japan, they have a notion which translates roughly to double cropping. And the idea is that if you plant the rice field right, you get a second harvest. It's often a root vegetable.
Yep.
And I think it's a beautiful analog for life. What we're doing in those middle chapters really does help us develop more opportunities later on. And I agree with what Pamela is saying. And I think a lot of what we're seeing is the result of much longer lives. You know, we used to have that old lockstep life course, you know, of 70 and 10. You jam all your education in the middle, work like a maniac for 30, 40
mm-hmm.
years, and then go off to pasture. But if you're going to live to 80 or 90 and have your faculties, there's opportunities for second, third bites at the apple. And we have to think about the whole arc of life. So what that means that you can have more options earlier in life. And so I think much of this is the result of one of the great triumphs of the past century, which is that we're living much longer and living healthier lives.
But there's a lot of assumption in there that you've got options. I mean, this economy has forced a lot of people to walk the plank. They may be unhappy in their job, but they need a paycheck. I mean, it's not just about choosing from some kind of menu at a lovely restaurant where you can order the waiter to bring out any new career you want. People need to make a living. Kathy writes to us, look, I'd love to just reinvent myself as something, but I have a child to raise and bills to pay. Ark says, to make a transition, you need to have success in something else. I'm in my 40s wanting to know how you start. I mean, Pamela, this is not always coming from like, well, there's my pension, and now I'll go off and carve duck decoys.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, real life reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two kinds of reinvention, the sort of passion-driven one, and then the forced reinventions. And this is why I call it a practical life skill,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that it sounds airy-fairy, but it's not.
What are the skills then? Make them concrete.
The concrete skill is the ability to take a look at the skills and talents that you're using in whatever particular field in the moment and think about them as skills rather than job functions. And this is an important distinction because job functions are what you do. Skills are what you bring to bear to actually accomplish those functions. Once you think about yourself as a constellation of skills and talents, then you can think about how to reapply those skills in new areas. And it's that translation process that is the essence of reinvention.
Here's an email from Jim, Mark. Okay, hang on, because this is rough. Okay, former business journalist, 25-plus years, took buyout in 2008, worked as a party, political party staffer for a couple of years, data analyst, tried doing computer work, divorced. Last work was hanging French doors. Fun but not sustaining. Can't get a job at Lowe's. I've lost all my retirement savings. I cannot support myself. I don't drink. Stopped smoking. What else you got? talk about...
Well, I think he brings up a hugely important point. We live in a society with enormous age discrimination. You know, that's stuck in some bygone era. There's an economist at Stanford, John Chauvin, who says, you know, we'd never use $1,935 in 2016 without adjusting them for inflation, but we use our notion of being over the hill, being elderly, you know, 65 that was established almost a century ago as if it was an eternal verity. And so people are facing huge headwinds. But I want to go back to your great Larry Crown invocation. I love that film. Mm. And what's it about? Yeah. It's a guy goes back to community college mm-hmm. in his 50s. Mm-hmm. This past year, Hollywood delivered The Intern, right, with the tagline, experience never gets old. So maybe we need to follow Hollywood. Some of these pathways for retooling, like community colleges, like internships, are great vehicles for helping people navigate this pathway.
Give us examples, Mark. You've worked with so many people, of people who have reintegrated. In other words, they've taken their experience, the core insights and skills they've gained in it, maybe even the instincts that led them there in the first place, and they've repackaged or repurposed them. Give us some examples of where that's gone well, gone right.
Well, you know, we're looking right in front of us at a presidential campaign, which almost all of the candidates are over 60. The president's just nominated a 65-year-old to the Supreme Court. Bloomberg's waiting in the wings. We've got all these famous people. What about the rest of us? This is where we need better institutional options for people, better ways to finance these transitions, and better public policy. So I'll give you my favorite example, which is the Troops to Teachers program, which focuses on military retirees, many of whom couldn't afford to go to college when they got out of high school.
Now we're getting real.
And it helps them, people who've been sergeants in the middle of the desert with some unformed 18-year-olds, move into classrooms with some unformed 17-year-olds and move up the ladder. Truly get an opportunity at social mobility through helping to underwrite higher education. And because our lives are so much longer, as you know, as Pamela was saying and Jane Brody as well, this could be 15, 20 years. How can we help people get up that ladder and have an opportunity for not only fulfillment but continued income in this period and not require that they figure it out on their own, essentially become an entrepreneur in their own life?
And we are right across the age spectrum this hour. You keep going old and old or older. Of course, it's there. But I swear I see this at many, many ages. Greg writes to us. Greg Plays Bass is his handle on Twitter. Says, I quit a great paying job due to the office space environment. No more cubicles, please. Now I teach a spin class and drive for Uber. Free at last. Robert in Nashville, Tennessee. Robert, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I am 63 years old, and I'm one of those people who's had a peripatetic career path. I counted the other day. I've had 32 jobs in my life, and I hated almost every one of them. And at 59, I lost my job. I'd been in pet products retail for many years, and I was kind of desperate. I was rudderless, floundering, trying to figure out what am I going to do now.
Yep.
I'm too young to get Social Security. So anyway, I was desperate to try and figure out some way to use my skills with animals. And so, long story short, I decided to start a small business of a pet sitting dog walking business.
Okay.
And it was really slow at first, but then after word of mouth got going, I got lots of business. I live in one of the most popular up and coming neighborhoods in Nashville. It's exploding. So it's gotten so successful that I now am turning away clients. I get exercise. I have bad knees, so I'm getting out, not vegetating around the house.
Yeah. Does it pay the bills, Robert? Does it pay the bills for you?
I'm making great money. Great. My people, you would not believe how much they're willing to spend on their animals. On
That's
their
awesome.
Pets.
And what about the lifestyle, your life, day in and day out? Do you like it?
I love it. And as far as the social aspect, that's a component people need in their lives. Mm-hmm. I joined a lot of meetup groups, so that kind of, gives me the social activity. I'm making great money. The dogs adore me, and I'm just dog stupid. I love it. So I think it's great that I'm making a career, hanging out with dogs every day. And the lady on your panel talked about force versus passion reinvention, and I think mine was a forced reinvention. But it's kind of turned out to be a passion reinvention that for the first time in my life, I finally found myself as far as a career is. I'm finally have some peace of mind, and I'm just as thrilled as I can be with it.
I love the story. Get lemons, make lemonade, and we can hear that you enjoy it and are thriving with it. Pet sitting, walk the dog, why not? If it works for you, that's terrific, Robert, and I wish you the best of luck. Mike in Omaha, Nebraska. Mike, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Tom. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. I think you're a genius. Love your response. I had to call you today because I'm in this situation. I'm 45,
okay.
And I've been from the youngest licensed massage therapist at 19 here in the state of Nebraska through every trade out there, a master finisher, you name it. I built muscle cars, and now today I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm selling water pipes, ironically, for a living and just killing it. So I have one piece of advice. I won't take up anybody's
time. No. Tell us, because you're a massage guy who's selling.
Multi-skilled.
To be multi-skilled.
Yes, sir. Because no matter what, if you're going to transition, integrate, look at it, all these different ways that everybody's talking about, I see as just one step of the long journey that I've been on.
Mike, so, what is it about a massage therapist that makes you so just? So sweet, happy as a pipe salesman.
Kind of ironic, isn't it?
I don't know. Tell us.
My point. Until you live a lifetime of being out there in this economy and struggling and being 110% different things,
yeah,
you wouldn't be able to have all this collective information and these bits and pieces that all these callers are trying to put out there. My point is that we still have our youth. What we need to do is train our youth to stop drilling their head down one path that 500,000 or a million or 7 million people are on and become multi-skilled from the get-go. Let's train our youth to go ahead and be ready for this so that when later in life and things become complicated, injuries,
yep. Yep.
Moving,
yep.
Et cetera, they're ready.
Mike, look up, look around, be ready. And it's funny, again, I can hear the energy, the enthusiasm right there that you're living. One more. We got a break coming up. Diana in Homestead, Florida. Diana, you're on. What do you see?
Yes, hi. I just want to, I love everything that everybody has said. It's definitely added to what I have to say. First, I want to say that I have I have fulfilled my dreams. I was a broadcast journalist.
What greater dream could there be than broadcast journalist? And what about now, Diana?
Well, now I work in retail. I have three small children. My husband quit teaching to go work in the casino. He wanted to be a poker dealer. So he's accomplished his reinvention. However, what I want to add to this conversation is that the society just does not have any consideration or care, employers rather, for women with children. I have three small children. I cannot work full time because I have to care for them. Their father's in the casino all the time.
Yep.
They don't ever close. So what I want to add to that is, while I'm still looking for full time work and continuing to work part time, I understand and I know and I'm happy that my most important job is educating my three children.
But how do you go for that reinvention? Diana, forgive me, but we're going to pick that up. Thanks for your call from Homestead, Florida. Dad's in the casino all hours. Mom's got three kids, but you can hear she wants that reinvention too. We don't make it easy. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about reinventing yourself, your life, your career, to follow your dreams, to stay afloat, to find meaning, to start over, looking at what it takes, what works, what to watch out for. Mark Friedman is with us. He's founder and CEO of Encore.org, author of The Big Shift and Encore and Primetime, with us today from Berkeley, California. Pamela Mitchell's with us from Miami, founder and CEO of the Reinvention Institute. There's an institute for it, ladies and gentlemen, so get going. She is also host of the Liftoff Project podcast. You can join us this hour. If you've reinvented yourself, what's your advice? Would you do it again? Is it for everybody? Does the new economy mean we have to be ready to reinvent? Do longer lives mean we have to be open to more acts, more ways of being, working? Here's one more. Hollywood loves this story, of course. We bought a zoo, Matt Damon. Scarlett Johansson, yeah, sure, everybody's life. But here it is. She wonders what he's doing. He just shows up. The zookeeper wonders, what's he up to?
I have a question for you. You're some random guy from the city. No one in the zoo community has ever heard of you. You know nothing about animals, and you moved into a dump. I mean, what kind of regular person just up and buys a place like this?
So your question is?
Why did you buy this place?
Why not?
Why not? Well, okay, not everybody's got a stack of bills to buy a zoo or anything else. Pamela Mitchell, our caller just before the break, Diana was saying, you know, 37-year-old mom, 3 kids, husband's working hard. She's in retail probably for the hours because you can have flexibility there. She'd love to reinvent, but how do you get going when you're in that circumstance? Do we really structure things to make reinvention closer to a real possibility for people or not?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Tom, because I was thinking about that. And one of the things that I talk to people about when they come to me is that we need to look at reinvention in certain stages, usually 7-year windows. So the thing about Diane is that right now she has young children. So in this particular stage, her children need her in a way that may not or will not be the same in 7 years. So what she needs to do is look at what has to happen for these next 7 years and craft her reinvention, her career. So that it suits this stage.
That's a long time, Pamela.
Well, you know, 7 years is, yeah. Well, when we're living to be 80, 90, 100, 7 years really isn't.
Okay.
You have to look at it from a long-term perspective.
Dreams on back burner. Well, I mean, having kids, raising kids could be a dream too, but people have all kinds of dreams.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is what makes it real-life reinvention. Yeah. We all have dreams, but we can't have 100% of our dreams all in the same moment. She was very clear that her most important thing, her most important job at the moment is raising her children. So that's critical. And therefore, she needs to make decisions within the context of that. So reinvention is always about sort of balancing in a real way the things that are important to us.
Prioritizing.
So yeah, sometimes we have to. Yeah, we have to give sometimes.
Stephen writes to us, "Who pays the bills while I go reinvent myself?" To that point, Remo says, "Look, I reinvented myself after 30 years in healthcare. Now I work at a wine store, a lot less money, but relaxed and happy." Ellen writes to us, "I'm on my second reinvention. It's nerve-wracking and exciting, all in one." True that. Paul in Lebanon, Connecticut. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I think it's true. It takes some time to put things together, and timing has to be right. I'm a clinical social worker, and my background was hospice care for a long time.
Okay.
But while I was doing that, I started raising goats, and now I have a herd. You know, we milk 85 goats. We make cheese. We sell cheese all around the state, and that's what I'm doing full time now.
How long does it take to milk 85 goats every day?
Well, it takes about 3 hours.
Okay, you got to love those goats.
I love those goats. That's part of the passion. I always loved goats.
And does it work out economically? Does the market for your goat cheese in your neck of the woods is good?
Yes, we sell everything. We're pretty well known in Connecticut. But, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is my husband is also a school teacher. So he So it's not something that I could have done by myself. So it's kind of been a partnership of the two of us allowing each other the dreams to work.
I love that, Paul. I mean, it is very often true, I've seen anyway, that it's a team effort here. And, you know, maybe one's reinventing while another's the rudder, and maybe people swap off in that. Paul, I appreciate your call so much. Mark Friedman, what about reinvention and a partner? What about men and women? Do you see different patterns of approaches to reinvention gender-wise?
Well, first of all, Tom, we got goats, dogs, cows, and Matt Damon's zoo. So I think there may be a lesson there.
We did buy a zoo. We didn't even know it. We got a zoo going.
You know, and I do think navigating both parts of people's careers can be a problem, but it actually can be a benefit too when one person is continuing to make their primary income while the other person is in a retooling period. Because I think, you know, in listening to the callers and Pamela's comments and some of my observations, you know, we're looking at long lives with lots of transitions. And the good news is that there's time to have these multiple chapters and multiple transitions, but we're not very good at transitions in the society. And I'd like to see more opportunities for people to experiment, you know, essentially gap years for grown-ups, not just for people between 18 and 22.
Who's going to pay for that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if right now we're asking people to load up all their education in the front of life and pay huge bills with that and load up all their leisure at the end of life, which may have worked in shorter lives, but it doesn't work for this expanded version. And I think what we need to do, it may be the same amount of money, but it gets distributed in different ways. Pamela's point about the 7 years, which is the normal sabbatical time. It turns out that comes from the Sabbath, that same root as the Sabbath, the seventh day.
7 days, seven Maybe years, we need take to, a break.
Yeah, well, you know, what about taking, you know, 5 years of retirement and distributing them across the life course? What about being able to take Social Security early for a year to go retool and then work an actuarially adjusted period later in life? You know, we need to start thinking about not only having more transitions, but how we pay for it. There was a great piece in Time a few years ago about a doubling of people over 50 going to divinity school with the title Holy Enrollers. And it told the story of a pediatric nurse who became an Episcopal priest, but it cost her $100,000. She had to sell all her worldly possessions. And it just shouldn't be that way.
Ed in Fort Lauderdale. Ed in Fort Lauderdale,
to
Florida.
To win the lottery.
Yeah, Ed, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me. You can reinvent yourself. I was always in construction from the Navy on through.
Yeah.
And around 50, I couldn't do this anymore physically for a reason. And I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. And out of the blue comes this, what I thought was the stupidest idea ever. But anyhow, I learned to repair and tune pianos.
Okay.
And it fits. I'm good with my hands. I'm patient. I like to rebuild things. I get to meet lots of people in lots of places.
You're out in their homes and in their institutions. You're where the pianos are.
You see, exactly. And it's been extremely rewarding. It's extremely rewarding to me when I'm done with the job and it's great and everybody loves it. And it just, like I say, don't limit yourself to thinking one way, because I would have never in a million years thought about this.
Construction man becomes piano man. And it strikes me once again, Ed, I hear a special kind of satisfaction in your voice. It's very interesting. You went out, you found it. Gail in Fish Creek, Wisconsin. Gail, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I started out, I've always been a go-getter and always through my whole life, always have shifted what I've done for a living. And got to where 25 years ago, I began to go into advisement to help people to transit themselves through one idea of what they wanted to do for their life to the next. So I had to cultivate it by having my full-time job and then having that be my part-time.
What have you learned, Gail? What have you learned that you can share with us?
You have to, I advise younger people that if they're going to college to have a major and a minor, because they're going to end up doing that minor when they're older. So be sure that they enjoy it and they pay attention to it, because we aren't going to do the same thing for our entire life. We're not going to. And a lot more people are burning out because they are stuck and where they thought they were doing so much, now they're looking to be because they have deprived themselves of being. They've been doing too much.
I love that idea of a major and a minor in life. I mean, sure, maybe in college, maybe throughout. Keep other things like revved in the background. Gail, I appreciate your call. Gretchen Rubin joins us right now from New York, author of the two New York Times bestsellers, The Happiness Project and Better Than Before. She's got a weekly podcast called Happier with Gretchen Rubin. What is this? Everybody has podcasts these days. She started out in law, was clerking for Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, went over to writing. Gretchen Rubin, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm very happy to talk to you.
We are noting a note of what sounds to me like happiness in the voices of people who have transitioned. Now, maybe they're the ones who are calling in. They've got the stories to celebrate. But there's something about change, if it works, that sounds audibly to me energizing.
Absolutely. I mean, finding work that really satisfies you, I mean, it's a huge part of a happy life. And when people find that that new part of their existence and maybe tapping into part of their life or their interests that they weren't using before, it's enormously satisfying.
So what's your advice if people are sitting there and thinking about doing it or they've already started to wade in? What's your advice?
Well, you know, one of the things that's really important when you're going through these transitions, and as somebody pointed out, we're going through more and more transitions because of living longer and just the changing nature of jobs, is how do you get yourself to actually follow through with doing the things that you need to do to make a transition? Because a lot of times there's a lot of work involved, and it might be very anxiety-producing if it's a forced reinvention in particular.
Yeah.
And so how do you get yourself to consistently like work on your resume or do research in a field or to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to be licensed? Okay, now it turns out I have to take a test to be licensed. So how do I study for this test and sit for this test? Or how do I build it? I need to build a website. I need to build a client base. Like, how do I go about that? And I think people really need to approach it like this isn't just something I'm going to do in my free time. This is not just like, when I feel like it, I'm going to go down and do this. You really need to kind of make a habit of doing the things that are going to allow you to transition. Now, some of the callers had something where it was something that was kind of their minor. They had their major job and then they had their part-time interest, which then they were kind of easily transitioned, which is great because you sort of ramp up like a seesaw. But for some people, they really might need to very specifically focus on what is that next step going to be or what are the different avenues I'm going to explore and how do I consistently move forward.
Robin writes to us on our website, Reinventing Yourself Begins on the Inside, where you've been and where you want to go now in your life. There's reflection, Robin writes, but more importantly, have a vision of what you'd like to see your life and maybe business and or business look like. Write it down. Make it realistic, but a stretch. Make a plan with inspired action. You have to really want that reinvention. Change is scary. Liz in Plattsburgh, New York. Liz, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. So I'm about to turn 30, and I was a retail manager for quite a while, about like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And now I find myself working for a cable company, and I'm climbing telephone poles. And
you're not in a cubicle. You're really out there with the little the stuff on your boots and climbing those poles.
Yeah, I am. And wow. It was a huge challenge for me. And I never in a million years expected myself to be doing this. I went from being in a mall, you know, 8 or 9 hours a day to being outside all day long and just getting to see the North Country. And it's amazing.
And what are you thinking about when you think about a transition, Liz? What did you find interesting, difficult or easy or interesting?
It was difficult. It's, I have my boyfriend and I had to take in what he's doing with his life and our financial status. And I was just miserable in retail. And so I got this job. I applied for it randomly, not completely expecting what it was going to be, but knowing I had to get out of having the erratic scheduling and being inside. And it was terrifying at first. And, but I just pushed myself physically and mentally. And, you know, here I am now. And it's just, who knows where I'm going to go now. I'm like, wow.
Up a pole, up a lot of poles. Liz, I appreciate your call. Pamela Mitchell, what about the partner here? You know, she was thoughtful about, well, who's going to make the income while I make the change? If you're in a relationship, how big a factor is that in the reinvention scheme? And how do you advise people to handle, manage that balance?
Well, that's a great question because when it is about our lives, we have to think about the impact that the reinvention will have on the people that we live with, that we love. So my advice always is to at that beginning stage when you're initially thinking about it, actually, it's kind of counterintuitive. Don't actually speak to your partner about it in that moment when you're kind of blue skying and thinking, well, maybe I want to climb a ladder, but I'm, or a pole, but I'm not sure if that's what I really want to do. Go to your trusted circle, build a trusted circle to begin discussing these things with people who've already done it. That's one of the things that I recommend in my book, The 10 Laws of Career Reinvention, is that you build this reinvention board. So you actually want to have people that can advise you that are not actually invested in what kind of outcome you have. Use them as a sounding board, kind of come up with your ideas. Once you're a little bit clearer on what you might want, then go to your partner and begin having that conversation. If you try to take them through all of your sort of internal stuff, it can really create a lot of instability and fear.
Anxiety in them, like, what are you doing? What tightrope are you walking out on here? Aren't we in this together or not?
Right. And that's just a lot of stress to put through your partner. I actually don't think it's really fair to do that because they don't really know where you're going to end up. You don't know where you're going to end up. So it ends up being a lot of pressure for both people. So go off, have that conversation with other people who don't have any kind of, you know, investment in how it's going to go. Figure it out a little bit and then go back.
Mark Friedman, just got a few seconds here. Are we getting better at this as the economy requires many of us to reinvent?
Yes, and we're reinventing and inventing the future. This is a movement. This isn't just a few people, and they're going to change the nature of life and work forever.
Happening around us right now. I love the stories today and many more online at our website, onpointradio.org. Mark Friedman, CEO of Encore.org, author of The Big Shift, thank you so much for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Gretchen Rubin, author of The Happiness Project and Better Than Before. Good luck, Gretchen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Pamela Mitchell with us from Miami at the Reinvention Institute and the Liftoff Project. Pam, great to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, good luck in all your endeavors. We love the spirit and the insight you bring right here. Thanks so much for it. I'm Tom Ashbrook.